As some of you are aware, I was away last week, and I just want to let you know that I have all my fingers. Some people are laughing. It was a few years ago when I went away. I came back, and I just about cut off one finger and broke the other one. So people are always asking me every time I come back from going away, do you still have all your fingers? So, yes, I do. We had a great time. It was all family as we're there and spending time together for the week. But Friday was really cold. Wasn't Friday cold? Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe the change. That was unfair. So we want the gradual stuff. I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were saying a couple of weeks ago when we talked about not judging others and how it had impacted them, and that they caught themselves or had to catch themselves to keep themselves from judging other people. Last week we talked about that we are not good judges of other people because our vision is too blurred by our own hurts, our own prejudices, our own sinfulness in our life. And that God knows everything, sees everything, even knows the heart of every person. So he's the only one that can truly judge someone. So how have I been doing the last couple of weeks of walking around and not trying to judge other people? Still hard, isn't it? So if you're slipping back, just talk to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I need your help to not go around and judge other people. It was funny because as I was talking to that person this morning, they were saying, catch yourself as you're driving the car for 1 minute and see how many times you judge a person. We were driving back through Toronto. I had lots of opportunity to judge people. As every time you try to give a decent gap between somebody that's, right? One guy, I mean, he was way from there. From the far left lane all the way over to the far right lane and off the exit ramp. I tell you, man. One guy said that certain personalities, they don't drive with the directions. They just take kind of navigation. They just go, oh, I'm going to go over there now. Oh, maybe I'll go over there now. Always trying to fit some better lane. But judging people is hard. So now we're learning how not to judge people. Where do we go from there? There's more steps in our life, and God doesn't just want us to begin a relationship with him and then just go on from there, and he wants us continually to improve. Chris, when she worked in one of the factory, they had something called continuous improvement. What kind of God's idea? That's what he wants for our life, continuous improvement. So we're going to take our next step. There's a man who was going out for a walk. He used to have a stroll in his peaceful, quiet neighborhood. But this one day, as he's walking down the road, a dog bit him. And that really bugged and upset him. He later found out that this dog had rabies. He had to go to the doctor to get rabies shots. Now he's really upset. So as the doctor has him in the room, he leaves the room for a moment to get the rabies shots. He comes back in. He finds the man with a piece of paper writing out a list. He figures the man is writing out his will. And the doctor says, wait a minute. It's not that bad. You don't have to write out your will. The man looked at him and said, I'm not writing out my will. I'm writing out a list of all the people I'm going to bite. I think this guy had a few issues, don't you think? We find ourselves at a point where Jesus has been arrested for crimes he didn't commit. During his experience of the trial, he was abused, he was mocked, he was laughed at, he was whipped, he was beaten, and he was sentenced to death on the cross. So now Jesus is hanging on the cross moments before his death, and this is what he says. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. One of the last things Jesus did when he was on earth was to forgive. What does it mean to forgive? Webster said to cease to feel resentment against an offender. To forgive one's enemy. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as you've been forgiven. How did Jesus forgive us? Well, he forgave us completely. He forgave us quickly. Unconditionally, he forgave us. There's no strings attached. He forgave us in love. He didn't make people grovel. He didn't make people feel guilty. And he never brought up their past. Pretty amazing forgiveness. Sometimes we may forgive somebody, but we hold the ammunition just in case we need it. Isn't that true? A great example of the forgiveness I have in my life is my parents. There's a few times in my life, very few times in my life, I did things that were not right. My brother was worse than me. I don't know if I could truly say that. But they never brought up what I did wrong. Once that was done, it was done. It was over. It was forgiven. It was left in the past. Maybe that's not your life experience. And so for you, it's hard to forgive and let it go. But that's what Jesus did for us. And that's what Jesus wants us to do for others. I mean, it sounds easy. Forgive and forget. To let it go. But it's not. Especially if you're still hurting. It may be easier to forgive years later when the pain is done. Maybe you had an experience where you're doing some renovations, you're holding a nail for somebody, they hit your thumb. Now you may eventually forgive them, but probably not while it's still hurting. Or at least the initial pain. It's hard to forgive. I'm going to need a couple of volunteers. Maybe, Jeff, you could be a volunteer. Yeah, voluntold, right? I need a volunteer. But what I need is I need somebody who's wearing a jacket. Anybody wearing a jacket? I need somebody who's wearing a jacket. Coat, jacket? Oh, perfect. George. Awesome. George, when we did the men's golf tournament, he was my golf partner. Hey? He helped humble me. Okay. Okay, what I want to do is I'm going to use these two guys as examples, because what they're going to do, reading a scripture, and I want to make sure we completely get it and understand it. So when I read this, what I want you to do is I would like you to act it out. Okay, so you're going to be someone. Not that you're not someone, okay, but you're going to be someone. Okay, so when I say someone, you have to act out what someone does. Okay? Are you ready? Okay, here we are. Luke chapter 6, verse 29. If someone slaps you on the cheek. Okay, turn the other one also. No, you're not supposed to hit him. He just says that turn. Okay, we're not done yet. We're not done. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold them your shirt as well. Wait, hey, this is PG here. Okay, no. Let's thank them for acting that out. Oh, man. Hey, would someone like to act out again? Who would like to be the slapper? Who would like to be the slappy? Oh, none of us like to be hurt, do we? We don't like that. And forgiving someone that has hurt us doesn't come naturally. Every cell in our body yells, no, don't do it. Don't forgive them. Don't let it go. Hang on to that. Someone has to hold them accountable. But Jesus says, forgive. Did he really mean I have to forgive someone who intentionally hurt me? Now, I can understand forgiving someone that hurt me by accident. But someone that goes out of their way to bring pain to my life, I have to forgive that kind of person? You see, the Bible says, yes, we do. But if we forgive someone, does that mean that person is getting away with it? See, no. Forgiveness is releasing it to God to allow him to be the one to hold them accountable. To be him to be the one that said it right. Remember we talked about 2 weeks ago, we said that we're not the ones that are good enough to judge someone because we have too many flaws, too many things in our mind, in our hearts, too many hurts, too many hang-ups to be able to judge someone correctly. Only God knows the heart of a person. So only he's the one that can truly judge them. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Right? God is the only one that is a truly just judge. Well, let's face it. People injure each other all the time. By words, by actions, by attitudes, even in the Broadway family. Hey, hopefully we're not doing it intentionally here. But it can happen. Sometimes there's certain things that I do or ways I act or that I say that for me is very normal in my family or my life, but maybe to your family and your life, it's a lot different than that. And so it's hurtful to you, and so you find it hard to receive that. So we hurt one another. See, things happen in our life, and there's things that can happen that have the potential to hurt us. We can't always control, or most often we can't even control the circumstances around it, or we can't control the people, but we can control how we respond to what happens. Years ago, there was a TV show and a news show, and they were looking at this new therapy to help couples whose marriages were literally on the rocks and falling apart. And so they came up with this thing, and they were talked about it, and they had it was a really big deal. It was groundbreaking therapy. It was called forgiveness therapy. The idea behind it was teaching people to forgive each other for the way they've hurt each other. Now, that was groundbreaking for them, but if they would have just read the Bible, Jesus was talking about this 2,000 years ago of the importance of forgiving other people. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart." Again, Webster says, "To grant forgiveness is to learn to forgive and forget." To forgive and forget. Wow, that's hard, isn't it? Sometimes we may say we forgive, but that memory is still there. And sometimes there's triggers in our life that brings that memory back. If Andrew here, we're working on a renovation project, and he hits my thumb with the hammer as I'm holding the nail, the next time he grabs a hammer, I remember. I forgave him, but I still remember he hit me last time. It's hard because sometimes that memory, but we have to, it doesn't mean that we will never remember, but we can't let the memory control us. We can't go back to, I don't forgive them anymore. I'm taking back my forgiveness. I'm holding on to that again. No, we need to let that go. When that memory comes, we need to let that memory go as well. So how do we do that? How do we forgive, truly forgive, and let it go? How do we do that? Well, there's a couple things we can do that can help us. One of the things is we can avoid nursing the hurt. What do I mean? If you get a young mother and she has a baby, what she's going to do is she's going to coddle that baby. She's going to hold it close to her. She's going to give it a lot of attention. In fact, probably, especially if it's a first-time mom, she's not going to leave that child very often. Now, you get the first-time mom, she doesn't let the child go, and the second child shows up, and she watches it not too bad, pretty closely. The third child's up, she has nowhere in the world where that kid went. Please take him, you know. But that first baby, a mother, she nurtures that and keeps it close and feeds it all the time and keeps it healthy. So what is somebody like that nurtures a hurt? They're always keeping that hurt close. They're always talking about it. They're always remembering it. They're always going over it and over it, and they're nurturing. They're keeping that hurt alive. You see, there was a stubborn old farmer, and he had a mule that he was plowing his field with. And a neighbor walked by, and as he looked at him plowing this field, he realized that he wasn't talking to him, and it was having a real struggle with it. And so he just couldn't help himself, and he said, "You know, I'd hate to butt in, but if when you're working with a mule, if you go key and ha, it's a lot easier, and he'll understand a lot better than yanking on the reins all the time." And the old farmer looked up, tired and exhausted, and he says, "Yeah, I know. But that mule kicked me 6 years ago, and I haven't talked to him since." See, what happens when we nurse an offense, that it causes us to act irrationally. We don't think clearly anymore. We don't even realize that nursing that hurt is actually hurting us. It's making our life hard and more difficult. I don't know, maybe has nursing a hurt clouded our judgment? Has it caused us to overreact in different situations? In Mark chapter 11, it says, "And when you stand and pray, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." What can stop us from receiving forgiveness from God? Well, it looks like to this verse right here that not forgiving others. So avoid nursing a hurt. Another one we can do is avoid rehearsing a hurt. Rehearsing a hurt. Repeating it over and over again like it's a song on a loop. Ever done that to a song? You really like the song, you want to learn the song, so you put it on repeat or you put it on loop, and it keeps playing the song over and over. When I'm learning a new song to lead in worship, that's what I do. I don't know, Laura Lee maybe just drives her mad, closes my door and says, "Please turn it down," because that song plays over and over and over and over. It may play 20, 30 times because I want it so that I really get it in my head how the timing goes and how the song goes and the words go. But see, when we do that with a hurt, it's almost like we're memorizing the hurt. And so we keep replaying it over and over and over and over in our mind until we could repeat the hurt in our sleep. The exact, every little detail that happened, because we keep replaying that in our mind. We become irritated. We become hypersensitive. Anything associated with that at all comes up. Anybody looks like that person or acts like that person completely drives us mad. There was one time that it happened to me that Chris did something that bugged me or hurt me. Now she almost never does that. Almost never does that. But there's one time, you know something? It was so small, I can't remember what it was. But there's something got under my skin. I don't know. You know, it's like if a man's hungry and tired, don't even try to talk to him, right? Feed him, let him get some sleep, and he'll actually be pretty reasonable. But there was something that was under my skin, I don't know, and she got mad. And so I just kept rehearsing it and rehearsing it and rehearsing it. We weren't even talking. I just kept going over it. "Oh, she bugged me. Why did she do that? I can't believe she did that. Oh, she bugged me. She did that again, and she did it on purpose." Around my head. And then she said, about 20 minutes later, "Hey, Paul, what do you want for supper?" "I can't stand it when you do that. You drive me crazy. You're always bugging me." No, I know none of you men have ever done that, right? But just in case that comes up sometime in your life. See, what happens is I kept repeating and rehearsing the hurt in my life, and the thing, little thing that bugged me, instead of saying, hey, listen, when you did that, that bugged me, I rehearsed it. I repeated it, repeated it. And so that when any time she said anything at all, I overreacted to what was happening. See, we can forgive easier if we're not rehearsing the things over and over and over in our mind. See, what happens is that maybe we're carrying that bitter reminder of something that's gone on in our past. See, when we rehearse an offense, that hurt just doesn't happen in the past. It happens today. As you're talking about that, you're re-hurting yourself today. That person's not hurting you again. They're not doing it again. You're doing it because you're rehearsing it. You're reliving the event, and you're hurting yourself again. You're doing that today. And guess what? You're doing that tomorrow. You're rehearsing the hurt again. So you're hurting yourself tomorrow, and you're hurting yourself the next day, and you're hurting yourself every day that after that as you're rehearsing it. And so, in fact, when you think about it, you're hurting yourself more than the person hurt you. Because you keep rehearsing what happened and going over and over and over it again. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Jesus forgave us first as our example. And we're supposed to follow that example and forgive others like he forgave us. Remember how he forgave? He forgave quickly. Unconditionally. Completely. In love. Never bringing up the past. So, avoid nursing a hurt. Avoid rehearsing a hurt. Avoid cursing a hurt. What's that mean? Well, if you rehearse or you nurse a hurt and you rehearse a hurt long enough, pretty soon it turns into anger. It turns into bitterness. It turns into thoughts of, I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to pay them back. I got to make sure they pay for that. You see, the one who has been hurt looks for ways to get to the other person or get back at the other person. The person that has hurt them and they want to put them down, they get angry. Even hearing their name makes them angry. There was a man. He owned a small piece of property between these two beautiful homes. So he thought to himself, what I'm going to do is, and I really can't do anything with this property. I can't build a decent house on it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask the neighbor if he wants to buy it. So he goes to one neighbor and would ask me if he'd like to buy it. The neighbor said, no, I'm not really interested in buying that property. And the other went to the other neighbor and asked him. And neither neighbor wanted to pay the price he wanted. He kind of wanted more than it was really worth. And so he became so bugged and so irritated by this, he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a house on that property just to get back at him. It's not going to be much of a house, but I'm going to build a small little dinky thing, and I don't care, and it's going to make them miserable. So he takes his house, and because the property is so small, he can only build a house 5 feet wide. So he built the house, and he moved into it. So who do you think suffered more? The neighbor or the guy that moved into the 5-foot house? That's what unforgiveness does to us. It moves us into the 5-foot house. Everybody else is going on with their life, and they're living life like they always did, and we're living inside the 5-foot house, all bound up and contained. See, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting that person to die. Because who's reliving it every day? Who's going over it every day? Who's got it in their life? And who's contaminated by it? The person who won't forgive. The other person may have forgot about it altogether. And it's gone on with it. They may not even know they hurt you. They're living life. In fact, not only does it hurt the person that doesn't forgive, it hurts the people closest to them. See, a person who won't forgive eventually is not a very nice person to be around. Because unforgiveness just doesn't stick to one person. It starts to spread to other people in their life. It's like a cancer, really. Where it takes control of your life, they're just not a nice person to be around. So those closest to them are most affected by them. So avoid nursing a hurt, avoid rehearsing a hurt, avoid cursing a hurt, and you'll find it much easier to forgive. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Do you need forgiveness from God? Forgiving other is the pathway to forgiveness from God. Forgiveness doesn't just set other people free. Forgiveness sets you free. It sets us free. Are we bound with hurts and offenses in our life? You can know the freedom that forgiveness brings. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. Lord, we thank you that your word's so practical, that there's stuff in there that really affects our day-to-day life. You see in our life, and maybe every day, we have potential to be hurt. People doing things intentionally or unintentionally, or things happening in our life and that hurt or offend us. Lord, help us to be quick to forgive, to let it go, to give it to you, to allow you to take care of it so that we can be free from it. Just keeping your heads bowed and eyes closed. You're here this morning. We always like to give opportunity for those who may have not begun a relationship with Jesus to do that. It's the most important thing you could ever do in your life. So if you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, I would encourage you to do that. Just follow me in this simple prayer as we pray together, just between you and God. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me and that you died for me. Right now, I pray that you would forgive me of all the wrong I've done, and that you would come into my life. Be the one in charge. Take control. Help me to live for you. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. If you said that prayer, I want to welcome you as a new believer in Jesus, part of God's family. And if you've done that, I would say that, you know, there's lots of questions you're going to have because of this new decision. And if that's what's happening in your life, we have a packet of literature here, some information that would really help you on this new journey, a new decision that you've made. And if you just want to quickly raise your hand, we can make sure you get it. Is there anyone? Yes, thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes, thank you very much. Is there anyone else? You just made this new decision. If you just quickly raise your hand. We don't want to hurry this. It's so important. Biggest decision you'll make in your life. I know some people are shy and it's all new to them. And if you made that decision and you said that prayer and you'd like to get the information at the guest services table, you can do that. As we talked this morning about learning to forgive, I just want to say a prayer for you. If you're like that and you've been had things in your life and hurts, and I know some hurts are so tragic, terrible, rotten, evil even, that's happened to some people, and it's just so deep, the woundedness. Really, only God can heal. And so if that's where you find yourself this morning, I pray that you would just allow Jesus to heal this morning and just release it to him. Give it to him. Maybe you struggle with unforgiveness because of something that's gone on in your life and your past. And you can live a new life of freedom that Jesus really wants to bring to you. Just hand it over to him. Lord Jesus, I pray for those that have been hurt. They did nothing wrong. Somebody hurt them. And they just have been carrying it for a long time. And because of that, they haven't forgiven and letting it go, and it's binding them up, and they're living in that 5-foot house, and it's a prison. I pray, Lord Jesus, right now that you would help them to forgive, to let it go, let you deal with it. You're the only good judge. And that, Lord, that you would set them free from that prison. That they would know the freedom only you can bring. As you said in your word, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, set them free this morning. Heal the hurts. Restore their life. Lord, you even said, restore the years that have been stolen from them. Even right now, restore it in Jesus' name. The worship team is going to lead us. As they're leading us, I would encourage you, if there's been things in your life that you need to forgive and need to release to Jesus, just do that as the worship team's leading us, and let those go. And then begin to worship Jesus and allow him to touch your heart and to make the cleaning go on inside that needs to be there. And as we're worshiping together, if you came this morning with a need for prayer, maybe you've made a commitment to Jesus, you'd like to have further prayer at the altar, or you want someone to pray for a need or for someone else who is sick or is struggling, you can feel free to do that. Just come to the altar. The altar workers will be here. So why don't we stand together? The altar workers will come to the front even right now. As we worship together, feel free just to come in for prayer if you need prayer.